This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But anyway, it's Saturday morning here at the Borgata. Saturday mornings are always good here at the Borgata. And it's today to discuss, as we always do on Saturday mornings, a lot of different things. And what is different are the things that happen during the week. So here's the deal. We'll talk about the football game and how many people are concerned. And it's the second preseason game. And granted, they did not play well. They had mistakes. I mean, Nate Sudfeld played well. Gibson played well. Caught some nice passes. You know, there's some things that have taken place that were good in the game, but there's a lot of things that didn't go well. As far as Nick Foles' injury, I don't think there's a lot of concern there. I did not see a lot of concern with the injury. There are other injuries that now you have to wonder about. One that kind of lost in the shuffle, and I saw him limp to the cart to be driven off, and that was Richard Rodgers. They do need three tight ends. Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert is a rookie, so that's something that's kind of under the radar there. And that's, I don't know where that injury stands. But as far as the game, I don't know how many people are concerned with either Nick Foles, the way they played, the offensive line. You go right down the list, and we can discuss that today. Again, it's only the second preseason game. This game coming up on Thursday against Cleveland is the one where the starters play most of the time. So they've got to kind of get it together, because in the Jets game, you'll hardly see any starters, if any. You won't see Wentz, obviously. You won't see Foles. And you won't see Sudfeld, because if Wentz is not ready for the first game, Sudfeld is your backup. So Sudfeld you got to be careful with him too. So the last game, and I'm fast-forwarding here, you'll see Callahan and Hackenberg in the last game. So this is the game coming up. And they do have to play better. And I don't know what it means that they didn't play well enough in the second preseason game, but we'll talk about that today. What you thought they played. One of the things that I also want to talk about, and it was discussed for a couple days this week, and it was Thursday night, and I don't know how much it was lost in the shuffle because the Eagles played Thursday night, but certainly interesting decisions by Gabe Kapler, who has had many interesting decisions. It's just the way he manages. But I'm going to look at this thing a different way, only because it should be looked at in a different way. We know that Gabe Kapler, I don't know if he embarrassed the organization, because they just suck it up. They know the things that Gabe Kapler is going to do are not always, the people are not always on board with those. Baseball is embarrassed. And it's now more than just Gabe Kapler. Last night, another game. More position players have pitched in a game, which is kind of a farce, than in any other season in the history of baseball. Well over 40 times have position players pitched in a game. You're saving your bullpen, a bullpen that's now has more pitchers than ever. And that's kind of a joke that you can't use. And I don't care. You have doubleheaders. You've had doubleheaders before. I don't understand why this is such an issue for managers to throw relief pitchers in a game. You know, you got temperamental bullpen guys. Pat Neshek's one of them. He can't pitch 2 days, or he doesn't want to pitch 2 days in a row, and most of the time he doesn't. That's another. There's a lot of things I like that Matt Klentak has done, but I don't like the signing of Pat Neshek because it seems like he's a prima donna, won't pitch the last inning, doesn't pitch 2 days in a row, but that's not the point. I don't want to get into that right now. When Gabe Kapler did what he did by pitching Roman Quinn, and Scott Kingery was a complete farce, watching him throw that in Little League, if you watch the Little League games, they throw harder than that and better than that. Why would you put him in when all he's going to do is just lob it up there? I mean, it is disgraceful. But not as much for the Phillies, I think, as for Major League Baseball. It's becoming a complete joke. But here is my biggest issue. If he embarrassed baseball, baseball has to be embarrassed with a lot of things. The way the game's being played based on analytics, the length of games, there's so many things that baseball knows where there are problems. The difference in the quality of teams between the good teams and the bad teams. The Baltimore Orioles are over 50 games. We're not even into September. They're over 50 games out of first place. I know the Red Sox are playing well, but the Baltimore Orioles, a established franchise, playing that kind of baseball is disgraceful. But here's the problem I had with Gabe Kapler. When you give up and you're in the sixth inning and you have given up, and I'm going to play a comment for you. Phil, get the bite where Gabe Kapler answers the question about the paying customer, and let me know when you have it. The paying customer watching pitchers or players pitch, and it's a complete insult to watch those guys pitch. You'd rather watch the Little League World Series. So, Phil, just let me know when you have that ready. In the cut, does he have it ready? But here's my biggest problem. My biggest problem is, what do you say to the other players on your team who are playing the game, are out there, and you've asked them, and you should continue to ask them to play their hardest? What do you say to the other players that are now playing from the sixth inning on when you admittedly have given up and those guys are supposed to bust their ass? What have you said to those other players? I mean, what have you said? You said, well, you should play hard, but I'm not playing to win this game. I know you're down by 10 runs, but you can't. My biggest problem is you have allowed, if another player says, all right, well, you've given up, I need some rest, and I don't want to play the last three innings because you've given up. What do you say to that player? You can't say, hey, listen, you've got to play the game. When admittedly the manager has given up. Admittedly the manager has given up. It's wrong. That's the part of it that's really wrong. That your other players are still out there, established players are still out there, and you're always asking them to give their hardest. If a player hits a ground ball and he knows it's an out and he doesn't run, wouldn't you be upset at him? But he's only doing what the manager has done. He's given up. But what do you say to the other players? What do you say to your team? He's lucky that most of these players are young players. He's lucky that most of them are young players. Does Phil have that bite? Okay. It's the one where Gabe Kapler, there's a question by the media. What do you say to the paying customers? All right, listen to this comment. And he admittedly has given up. This is Gabe Kapler. I thought it was Gabe Kapler. Phil, does he have it or doesn't he have it? Oh, okay. I don't think it's fair to the other players. I do not think it's fair to the other players. And that's the problem I have. I don't care that the team, and I don't know if the team was embarrassed. The fans may have been disgusted. I don't know that the Phillies care about that. But baseball's embarrassed. But my biggest problem is, what do you say to the rest of your team who are out there and have to finish the game and are still playing? What do you say to the rest of the team? The other point, and Carlos Santana had not played in this game. Now, I don't know why. If Scott Kingery's not going to throw the ball, at least try to throw the ball. Carlos Santana, you know, this little game he plays with Mikel Franco when he catches the last out at first base, where he throws it very hard to Franco at third base. At least Santana can get it up there with a reasonable amount of speed. What do you say to your players, and why was Carlos Santana not one of the pitchers? He hadn't played in the game. I know he's going to play the second game, but so what? You're going to tell me it's going to tire him out to throw an inning or two? At least he can throw the ball harder. So that's my problem. Gabe Kapler has done some interesting things, and I will contend. Hey, listen, I know he's in the running for the manager of the year, and I get that. But some of the things that he's done, but probably the biggest problem with what happened the other night is his admitting that he gave up. I don't care how many runs you're down by. You're not down by 20 runs. He admitted that he gave up, and what does that say to the rest of the team? All right, let me give you the numbers. 888-72, we have it. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. All right, if you hadn't heard it, and you probably have heard it, but if you haven't heard it, and the broadcasters were amazed that they've made such a sham of what's going on. But again, my biggest problem is, what does he say to the other players who have to play the last three innings? It's a disgrace. All right, 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, it's #9494. And that's on your AT&T phone, the service that you know I use, and #9494 on Verizon. We are at the Borgata. And if you hadn't heard the broadcast, and I didn't because I was in... I was with the Eagles in New England. Larry Anderson is classic, is absolutely classic. I'm Howard Eskin. We're at the Borgata, as we are on Saturday mornings. WIP Sports Time is now 8:16. 94 WIP. All right, we're going to try to make believe that some of what happened in our first segment didn't happen, and make you believe that we are actually a real radio station at WIP. So we're all on the same page. I can hear what's going on. I'm not in the Tasty Cake Studios. I'm at the Borgata, as I am on Saturdays. My understanding now is, and it was a secret to me, that we did play Gabe Kapler's comment. But we're going to try to do this again and make believe we're not in Montana at a Montana radio station, and make believe that we're at a Philadelphia radio station. I know it's going to be difficult, but we're going to try to make that work. So I can address this, because I want to address what Gabe Kapler said, and then we're going to hear after I come back, we're going to hear what the broadcasters thought of it. And again, my biggest problem is what does he say to the other players when he gives up for the last couple of innings? What does he say? All right, listen to Gabe Kapler's explanation, and he admitted he gave up. You have eight pitchers in the bullpen for a reason. He had an extra pitcher for the day because, Zach, when you play a doubleheader, you're allowed to call up an extra pitcher. And he was a starter. But to brush it off that they were more entertained. But, again, that's not my problem. My problem is what do you say to your other players? You think your other players were more entertained? And the next time I see Gabe Kapler, I'll address this to him. I don't just address these things on the air. I will address it to Gabe Kapler. And I know it's over and it's done with, but I haven't spoken with him since. I was here last night. I actually went to watch the Cher concert here at the Borgata. So I was here last night rather than in Philadelphia at the game. But I will address it. But it's what do you say to the other players? Now, there's no question that Larry Anderson and Scott Fransky don't agree with Gabe Kapler a lot. Luckily, they are icons on Phillies broadcasts. And I don't know if Phillies people have said anything to him, but I love the fact, I love it, that they give their true feelings and opinions. All right. Here, let's listen to a couple of things from the broadcast the other night. And again, I'm dealing with this because it's the first time. I was on Angelo yesterday morning when I got back from Foxborough, but I'm going to address it on this show. Let's hear from, we'll play a couple of clips from the broadcast with Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson. You know, here's the problem with that. If you unload on the team, and then after that inning, you have decided to give up. I feel bad for some of the pitchers. Phillies had, what was it, 4 errors in the game, 11 unearned runs. But, and the manager takes responsibility for fundamental problems and other problems. I just don't get it. But he's not going to unload because then he gives up himself. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on WIP.
I'm going to noise the truck. Just real quick, I don't know what he said, and no one knows what he said, but obviously it worked because they won 2 straight games.
Wait a minute. Whoa. They're not going to lose a doubleheader to the Mets. Here's what you got to understand. 2 straight games. All right, they won last night, but again, it's against the Mets.
Well,
the Mets are one of the
yeah, the Mets.
I know, but the Mets are one of the worst teams in baseball. They are one of the worst teams in baseball.
Can I ask you a question before I hop on?
Yeah, and they won the second game because the Mets aren't going to win 2 on the road. Let's be honest. But go ahead.
Okay, is it possible that he might know his players and team more than anybody else? Is that possible?
And what does that have to do with it?
Maybe he threw the game in. I mean, it was wrong what he did, but like I think everybody was on the same page.
But what is your? Well, you asked me a question. You asked me a question. Isn't it possible he knows his team better?
Yeah.
But okay. But okay. Does he know his team better? Yes. But what does that have to do with it? What my question is: what do you say to your players when you admittedly gave up? What do you say to your players? Now, the player that might not run out of ground ball in that situation, what do you say to him? Did he hang up or did we hang up? I guess he hung up. I guess you couldn't answer that question. So your question was irrelevant to my point. So if you want to sit there and defend Gabe Kapler over that, you're foolish and you're a dope because you can't defend my point. When you ask the other players to play the last couple of innings and not give up, yet you admittedly have given up, that's not fair to the other players. That's not fair to say, hey, Larry Anderson's point, when do you, He could have pulled it. If that's the case, just pull the team off the field, forfeit the rest of the game. You might get fined, but so what? And so you have given up. So let's move on to the second game. The Mets aren't using bogus pitchers. The Mets are still trying to play the game the way it's supposed to be played. But, again, my point is, what do you say to the players that are still in the game when you have admittedly given up? Doug, you're on WIP.
What's going on, Howard? How are you doing?
Doug, you're listening from Connecticut, huh?
Yeah.
That's Patriot country, isn't it?
You know what? You know, I work in a school, and last year, right around our playoff run, one of the I work in an elementary school. One of the kids at the school actually was wearing a Wentz shirt. You know, the rest of the school is all Patriots, a few Giants here and there. But I really foresee, you know, I hope Brady's on his decline at some point soon. I really just want to wipe all the apparel out of this area. I hope it, you know, fades away and we have more green in the school. But I just wanted to give you a call about, our linebackers this year. I think there's a few things that concern me. I think we're going to be okay. But, you know, the beginning of the season, you know, with Bradham out, and we don't really know who's winning that Will job yet. You know, stopping the run in that second level is something that concerns me. And I just want to know what you think about this rule about, you know, lowering the head. I've been a lifelong fan. I'm 38. And I think this is the first time watching the preseason game the other night where, you know, I didn't like it. I didn't like the game as much.
Here's the problem with the rule. First of all, you're taking away what the game of football is. And players that play know the risks, but they love the game. I understand you're trying to make the game safer.
Yep.
But nobody knows what the officials don't even know what the rule is. I saw there was a penalty against New England. And both Merle and Mike said, I didn't see where the penalty was. And they said that on another call earlier in the game. When a helmet hits a helmet, they're going to call it. All right, so that's a given. But when you lower your shoulder and your helmet has to hit because the offensive player happens to move, that's not fair to the defensive player. But I saw a point where there was a penalty called on, I forget who was, on New England. And Malcolm Jenkins is there yelling at the official, and the official's laughing. And he says, that was not a penalty. I'm on the other team, and I'm telling you, meaning he's on the Eagles, and that was not a penalty. They don't know. It's learning for everyone, but I don't think the officials quite understand what the rules should be, and that's the biggest problem.
You know, lowering your shoulder, your head's going to come along with it.
Correct. Yeah, right. Unless you can separate.
How are these guys not going to try to dislodge that football? That's what we love. We love the turnovers. We love the excitement. And the pace of the game is just going to be, we had a bunch of personal fouls and this and that. But, you know, I hope our linebackers will be all right. I think that's the only thing I'm concerned about, but I'm excited for the start of this year.
Yeah, and they've got to get the injured players back, and they were missing a lot of players the other night. So we have to understand that, but they still do have to play better. There's no question. All right, let's go to Rodriguez. You're on WIP.
Hey, how you doing, Howard?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. Very fine. I have a concern. I mean, the game was good. You know, in the sense that we managed to see where they're at, but they didn't protect the quarterback.
No, the offensive line did not do a good job.
They didn't protect the quarterback. I know a lot of people are criticizing Nick Foles for the lack of this or that. I know he hasn't played in a while, we understand, but just that the defense didn't help. They didn't protect them. They let these guys get through, and that's how the quarterback gets hurt. What are they going to do if Carson Wentz comes back in a couple of games and they can't protect the quarterback?
Well, they better protect the quarterback. That's a hypothetical question. They have to protect the quarterback. There's no question.
Exactly. There's a lot of things I think they should work in now that we only have, two more games, two more practice games. And the defense is just number one, I think.
Again, there's multiple things that they have to fix. There's no question there's multiple things. But it was only the second preseason game. It was only the second preseason game. And that's what you look at. But even the head coach, even Doug Peterson after the game said, there's no question they've got to, as they say, clean things up. And they do have to clean things up. All right. We got Levi. We got Chuck. Chuck, the analytics genius. We'll see how he deals with Kapler. Because based on analytics, what the heck, you're not going to come back and win the game. Levi wants to talk about Kapler. There are multiple problems with that. But again, my biggest problem is, what do you say to the players that are still playing the game? That's not fair to them. 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, that AT&T service that I know a lot of you have, it's #9494. And on Verizon, same thing, #9494. I'm Howard Eskin. We're at the Borgata. Fine Saturday morning. Phillies play this afternoon against those world-beater New York Mets. DeGrom's pitching, so this won't be a piece of cake either. It's a 4 o'clock game. Eagles really are not back at practice until tomorrow. They're in today, but they don't have much today. But tomorrow they get back on the practice field. I don't know whether Nick Foles will practice, but it appears to me and everything I hear that he's going to be fine. So we'll deal with that too. WIP Sports Time is now 8:36. Tasty Cake. We know about Tasty Cake. It's great to be here on Saturday mornings at the Borgata, but I miss the Tasty Cake studios with all those amazing Tasty Cakes sitting outside the studio at our Tasty Cake studios. But they've got sweet news. They still have limited time edition cakes. We're still in the summer, so they're still part of the summer cake limited edition. They're really, really, really good. The mini donuts, what I'm talking about. Two amazing flavors, birthday cake and blueberry. And I've had both, and they're both terrific. And then you've got the irresistibly delicious blueberry sweet rolls. I've had those, and they're delicious. I've had them all. The banana pudding glazed pies. I've had that, and that is sensational. You want some of that stuff? Am I getting you hungry? You can get them all at your local grocer. Then visit Tasty Cake on Facebook and Instagram just for the fun of it. WIP, Saturday morning here at the Borgata. Let's go to his highlight of his week, even though he's on every show twice a day, 8 days a week, and that would be Levi.
Good morning, Howard.
Good morning.
You know, what I'm really concerned about, you know, I'm going to get in what I want to get in today. I'm not going to let you deter me or distract me today.
Okay.
With the nonsense. Yeah. What I want to talk about really is, you know, it's incumbent upon Roger Goodell in the NFL to get this rule right about this tackling. Because I'm involved in youth football down in South Philadelphia. I want to know how we're teaching the kids the right way and the wrong way on how to tackle out here without getting themselves hurt and not, you know, playing outside the game. You know, and they got to get this right. You know, NFL and Goodell is $40 million salary. Got to sit his ass down to the table and get this thing right. Because, I mean, to me, it's just it's stupidity.
Well, here's what you have to understand. Roger Goodell listens to the people that there's players on these boards, and it's a whole bunch of people that make the decision. The one thing that you can't do is lead with your helmet. I get that, but you can't start calling penalties if a player is lowering his shoulder and his helmet because the offensive player moves.
okay?
happens to hit that player in the body, that's not fair to the defensive player. You've got to find
a mid-gap.
And defenseless receivers, I get all that. I understand all that. But it's too far the other way. I mean, they know what they're trying to do, but they haven't. In some way, shape, or form, the officials don't quite understand the rule. And I don't think the players understand the rule.
I get that. But
Levi.
Yeah, I'm right here. What's going on, Howard?
I'm asking. Well, I'm waiting for... I just responded. And
I didn't hear what you said. I couldn't hear you at all.
Okay, turn your radio. Is your radio up, Levi?
I don't have a radio on, Howard.
Oh, okay. All right, well, go ahead.
Okay, the next thing is, you know, you and Larry Anderson and Ed Locataldi have been micromanaging Gabe Kapler all year long. You know, and you know what? That game was over. Larry Anderson wanted to forfeit the game, but Gabe Kapler did what he had to do to get through the game. So as far as I'm concerned, the game is over and done with, and they moved on.
Okay, but that's fine. All right, so what do you tell... This is my biggest problem. It wasn't an embarrassment to the Phillies. It's an embarrassment to baseball that all these teams with eight pitchers in the bullpen now. Every team has at least eight pitchers. The Phillies, for one or two games, had nine pitchers in the bullpen. But what do you tell when you've given up? All right, you know it's a bad game. They've played poorly. They committed, I think it was either three or four errors. There was 11 unearned runs. And that's terrible. But when you give up, Scott Kingery shouldn't have been in there. I mean, have somebody that at least can throw just a straight ball over the plate. But what do you tell your other players who you are asking to play at their hardest? What do you tell those players?
Well, what you assume, Howard, is that Gabe Kapler didn't talk to the players at all about what was
when they see what's going on, what do you tell him? Do you say, hey, listen, I'm sorry that you were out there for this? If a player doesn't run out a ball after he's throwing position players as pitchers, and he doesn't run, wouldn't you criticize that player?
Absolutely, but I'm saying the players had the errors out there, didn't they? Okay.
I'm talking about after he puts in Roman Quinn and Scott Kingery.
Okay.
What do you tell the other players? Is it fair for – well, why? If the other players say, hey, listen, I want out of this game too.
Let me make my last point out.
Well, you didn't answer the question, but that's okay.
My last point is, old Tiger's back on over. I was back in form again, huh?
What's that?
All it's about him not winning another major – that might be out the window, huh?
I'm sorry, did he end up retiring? Okay, did he win that PGA
championship? No, but he looked good.
Okay, he looked good. Did he win?
No, he did not. No, okay. He didn't win.
I still don't think he doesn't hit an. Here's the problem with Tiger. He doesn't hit enough fairways. You have to hit. He doesn't hit the. I don't know why. He has trouble off the tee hitting fairways. And if you can't hit fairways, you're not going to win a major. It's that simple. And Levi's determining when I should retire or not. Chuck, how are you this fine day?
Good morning. Listen, buddy, we got to mark the calendar, August 18th, year 2018. We are in 100% alignment today. Now, you know that's rare. We go back a long time. We are lockstep today.
Because I'm not into your war stat and all those
bogus analytics
numbers.
Since you brought it up, I wasn't going to bring up war today. I was going to give you a
break. That's all right. Just go with what you wanted to talk about, and then we'll deal with that later.
Your guy, war stat, is now higher than Herrera. So you see how accurate it really is? Because Hoskins is now ahead of Herrera war stat. So you should embrace that.
Here's what my argument was all the time. If you watch players, and I watch them, and I talked to other people around the league, I knew Hoskins, when I said Hoskins was the best player on their everyday lineup, and you challenged that. I'm not talking about the moment. I'm talking about the season. I'm talking about the future. And Hoskins shouldn't be in left field, but that's not his fault. He should be at first base.
He's a disaster.
Okay. But he should be at first base, so left field is not his fault.
We've settled this.
Okay. But Hoskins is the best player on that team.
If we're building the Phillies baseball team for the future, am I taking Hoskins or Herrera? Who do you think I'm taking?
You're taking Hoskins.
That's a full concession.
Okay.
You accept it?
Yes, I do. I accept it.
I want you to escrow that. For the future, okay. I may get one back from you, okay?
Okay, maybe. But I know the game, Chuck. I don't have to look at a computer. I understand the game.
Well, now, come on. You know I'm more than just computer. You know?
Okay.
The embarrassment to baseball, to the organization, to have a when was the last time a professional manager admitted to quitting in any professional endeavor? Think about that. Have you ever heard that before?
No, I've never heard it. And when somebody says, and here's another problem I have. Somebody said, Gabe Kapler speaks the truth. Actually, there's somebody online that said Gabe Kapler speaks the truth. No, he doesn't, because we hear him after every game. He doesn't speak to, hey, that's his game. As a person, he's a good guy. He's always been, I think, respectful of me. We have not agreed on a lot of things. We do talk about it quite often. When we don't agree, but don't tell me that Gabe Kapler was just being honest, because he's not honest when he speaks after almost every game. He just rolls out all that nonsense. But he was trapped here, and
right.
To say that he gave up, my biggest problem is, what do you tell the other players that have to play the final couple of innings? What do you tell those players?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't think there's a player in the dugout that would endorse that. Now, let me be clear about my point. If you have to use a position player in a game that's out of whack, and you put a position player in to control the ball 85, 90 miles an hour for an inning to say, I'm fine with that. Okay, I've done that, Koji. But to put somebody in throwing the ball up there like slow-pitch softball, where it's a farce. People could get – Kinger's lucky he didn't get a ball back through the middle, because he probably wouldn't have been ready for something like that. I mean, I sent six employees over, and they don't go to a lot of baseball games. I had to apologize to them Friday for what they had to watch game one. They couldn't stay for all of game two. It is just a mockery of the sport. It's like running the bases backwards. You can't cross that line. It was embarrassing. And I'll tell you, I lose all respect on two fronts. Him doing that and then admitting to quitting, you're not going to come back in that game, but you don't admit to quitting.
Why don't you? Carlos Santana likes to play this little game with Franco. And he obviously has a good arm and can throw it. He wasn't even playing in the game. Why not just put him in the pitch? At least you can throw it up there at 80 miles an hour. I don't care, but
I do care,
actually. I mean, Seattle put a position player in last night. It's baseball's becoming a joke, and they have more pitchers in the bullpen than ever.
The baseball's going to have to react to this situation, because if you've had a lot of what Kingery did, a lot of it, they would obviously intervene, because you could not have.
What could you do? But what could you do? What rule could you put in place?
You're going to have to do something. And the reason they're going to be put in this bind, Major League Baseball, is they don't expect Major League managers to stoop to the level that Cap did by putting in a guy throwing 50. Come on, that is just a...
We don't know he threw 50 because it couldn't even be registered on the radar gun.
I actually didn't see. I had a small house party, so I wasn't watching the game. I was getting ready for the Eagles game. And so I didn't see it live. And when I saw the replay, I was appalled at what I was looking at. I mean, it was just, and for the people that are saying it was strategic, let me say this. There's plenty of arms in the bullpen for you to get through that game with one inning each. And they're going to say, oh, once they get hot,
well, he says he had to worry about the second game. They still didn't use three pitchers during that day. You have so many relief. What happened to the time when pitchers were throwing both games of the doubleheader?
Yeah.
I don't understand this anymore. It's a joke.
Yeah, and I'm surprised Schmidt and Crocker didn't have more to say about it last night. Maybe the organization told them to back stand out on this issue. I don't know. But, you know, they didn't have a lot to say. I was surprised about that.
Oh, I know what they think, but you're right. But on radio, Larry Anderson will talk about it. Scott Fransky will talk about it. And that's good. People want honesty. They don't want to be muzzled. They don't want their broadcasters to be muzzled. I'll tell you, and not because I work with him, I give Merle Reese a lot of credit for a lot of things, and Mike Quick the same way. They speak on our broadcast, they speak the truth. If they're not playing well, they're going to say it. But on the Phillies, on some of the broadcasters, and I'm not going to single out any one person, they're not being honest with the people, and you're there to kind of bring your point. Now, the analyst has to bring a point. The play-by-play guy just deals with it, but he would join in. But I think people deserve that when they watch a broadcast. I think they deserve
it. Yeah, my last question to you. Chad just walked in and says hello. We're down here in Ocean City. Hello, Yvonne.
You're right down the road. You didn't even stop over?
Well, I'll tell you, we actually had planned on doing that. We didn't get coordinated. He's in Ocean City. I'm down the street at the portico. We didn't get coordinated. We were going to come over this morning, surprise you, say hello, and take you to lunch. Would you tell Al to come down? He hasn't returned my call. I'm waiting for him to return my call for dinner tonight. Last question.
You just told Al, but go ahead. I'm glad you're using this to get Al to... Al's getting ready for the Sunny Hill show tomorrow, but go ahead.
you're never caught flat-footed. Why doesn't the media take him to task more than they do on this? Well, Chris, you didn't have an incident like this before, but I didn't think the media really took Cap to task on the penetrating
now,
question.
Here's the problem. Some of them do, but it's not a lot of them. And Chuck, you enjoy your day today, okay?
You
tell
too,
Chad I said hi. The media is not, in looking at the media, the baseball media in Philadelphia used to be really, really tough. And there's some good guys and there's some sharp guys. And I don't know if people today worry about access, worry about whether the manager will or won't talk to them if they criticize them. I've never worried about that. That's just, you know, I guess I'm old school. But the Eagles writers really are very aggressive. But the Phillies writers, and again, I don't want to lump them all together because there's some really good ones there. But they're not tough enough, and I would agree with that. They're just not tough enough in certain situations. But I can't get in their head why. It's not my place to ask them why. They just do what they think is right, and I think that's they have to deal with it. And, again, I don't know. I can't answer the question as to why. All right, 888-729-9494. On your cell phone, if you're using AT&T, it's #9494. If you're using Verizon, same thing, #9494. WIP Sports Time is now 8:57. 94 WIP. I want to address a tweet before I get back to the phones. And I put a little thing out there. Thanks. People dropping off my tasty cake here. I put a thing out on Twitter, the show's coming up and things I'm going to discuss. And there's a couple of tweets that I want to mention. Listening from Houston, which is nice. This is Chris. Took me a while to figure out WIP is off TuneIn and now on radio.com, which is, yes, we are. Points out the Astros don't have the same it that they had last year. He said he was appalled at the Eagles' interior line play. Yes, it's preseason, but don't see New England exposing Tommy to hits. Well, I'm not going to talk about New England. The Eagles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl and all those nitwits up there that thought that was great. Like, well, the Patriots got them back because they won a preseason game. You lost the Super Bowl. All right. Here's a tweet, and he's obviously an Auburn fan by the picture. Two straight wins and a half game back. Whatever Kapler said, his players sure responded, as they have all season. I know that kills you to hear, Howard, since you have a predetermined dumb opinion of him you need to try to validate. Not exactly. All right, let me just explain this. They lost two. Who did they play on the first? They lost two out of three in the first team on the road trip. I forget who they played now. They lost two out of three. Then they went to San Diego and lost again in the first game, won the middle game, and then got beat badly in the last game. So obviously the team did not respond. That's overstated. Baseball is a game. Players forget what happened the day before. They just go into the next day. It's not the manager, it's the players. And because the Phillies have a young team, if young players don't come out and play their hardest after a loss, it's a mistake that they're even in the major leagues. So that's the one thing. Let's address that. The manager, and I've been consistent with this, even managers you think are good managers, and there are some good managers. Managers in baseball have the least to do with winning and losing for teams in any sport. The two of the toughest might be football and hockey because they've got to think very quickly, and they really have to be on top. But baseball, you can sit there, and now they just read a computer, but you can sit there. You have time to make your decisions. That's not the case in the other sports. And as far as responding, it's an individual sport played. It's a team, but it's an individual sport, baseball. So the reality is, and I'll tell you why they're a half a game back. There's only two teams in this division. The Phillies and Atlanta clearly have a distinct advantage over other teams in the National League. I think Milwaukee's a better team. I think the Dodgers are a better team. Dodgers may not even make the playoffs, and they're not in first place. Certainly we know the Cubs and Arizona are better teams, but they have good teams in their division for the most part. Not all of them are good, but the West is good. The Central is good. Again, not all of them, but most of them. In the Phillies division, and this is the way I look at it, nobody thought that Washington would be this bad. The Washington Nationals suck. They suck. But you thought they'd be better. The Mets, you thought they would be better. Miami, you knew, would stink. But the Phillies probably have six wins between Washington and the Mets that people didn't think they would have, but they're so bad, you have to beat that team. I went into the season, and I absolutely knew the Phillies were going to be better. I had full confidence that the Phillies were a better team, and they are a better team. But are they this much better? The division has dictated it. I think Atlanta's better, but the division has helped them as well. And that is the reason they're a half game back. Phillies and Atlanta are close. I think Atlanta's a better team. I don't know if Atlanta will win the division. The Phillies have a good chance to win the division. But I get all that. But that tweet, just understand baseball a little bit there, genius. Belligerent Sausages is his Twitter address. Just understand what the game is. So did they respond? No, after they lost 2 out of 3 in San Diego, they lost the next game. So this response, you're playing the Mets. You better win against the Mets. Those are the teams that you have to beat. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard.
Hi.
Twidiots out there. That team you're mentioning, the team they lost to, they lost 2-3 to the Reds.
The Reds, who are not a good team.
No, they're not. I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, you have people in the stadium.
They lost 2 out of 3, didn't they? Wait a minute, they lost 3 out of 4 to the Reds, right?
I'm sorry, 3 of 4, yeah, 4-game series.
So they didn't respond in the first game against the worst team in baseball, San Diego, so they didn't respond.
No, obviously not. And it's funny how these people out there try to tell you, and you just speak the truth, man. I'm telling you, it's like, I'm tired of these blind supporters of this coach or this manager. He's not that good. And they're not winning games because of him. People don't get that, Howard. You know, you said it all along. It's more of a disgrace to me, this whole this play of pitching Kingery in that situation. I used to write about those players. You think they like chasing those bombs or rockets hit back at them when they throw those lollipop pitches up there? It's a disgrace. Kapler's comment really irked me. That, well, the guys feel comfortable coming in that situation, the bullpen guys. What? They're getting paid money. Why don't you grow a pair and send them in and tell them get the hell in there. You know, as much as we have problems, we may not love Charlie Manuel, he would not let that happen, Howard.
Well, there's a lot of people that wouldn't let it happen, but the game's changed. Last night Seattle used a position player, and I think that's just become a joke. With all the pitchers they have in the bullpen, I mean, it's become a joke. It really has become a joke. Baseball has issues. I don't know how they address telling a manager, well, you can't throw a position player in the pitch. You can't tell him that. I don't think you can legislate the shift, and I'm okay with the shift. The batters have to get hits, and whether they bunt, it's not all about just the home run. Jason, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, I've been listening to you since your days at WWDB. I think with this on Kaplan, I think it might be time to retire. He knows what he's doing. He made the right move with the position players. Most baseball teams do that. The division, the American League East, it has Baltimore in it. Is that why Boston's good? No. The Phillies are a half game out of first place because of Gabe Kapler. It worked using the position players because they won the next two games.
They're not going to lose. That's overstated. And it's overstated because they're not going to lose two to the Mets at home. That's not going to happen. And the Mets were satisfied. Here's what happens in doubleheaders a lot of times, especially with a bad team. The Mets were satisfied. They won the first game. And don't give the manager credit because they won the second game and they won last night. They're playing the stinking Mets. I mean, please, whether Gabe Kapler does good things or bad things, the reality is the players win those games. It's not the manager. So when they were going bad, when they lost 3 out of 4 to the Reds, was that the manager's fault?
They came back.
I asked you a simple question. Was it Gabe Kapler's fault?
No, no. They came back and won the next game.
Wait a minute. I asked you a question. You told me because of the manager, they came back. And when they lost 3 out of 4 to Cincinnati, was that Gabe Kapler's fault?
It was his doing that they came back, and now I have. No,
I asked you a question. Can you? Hey, Jason, I'm asking you to answer my question now. Was it Gabe Kapler's fault? Okay, and I agree with that. I agree with that. That it was not Gabe Kapler's fault, it's the players. But then don't all of a sudden say, well, Gabe Kapler had him come back and win the second game and then win last night. They do now, but you don't tell everybody after the game that you gave up. And I think it's a joke. But if you use a position player, do you want to throw a blooper pitch? Do you want to throw a softball pitch? Okay, it makes no difference. Okay, it makes no difference. What are you telling, as I said, what are you telling the other players on your team? You want to defend Gabe Kapler? Go ahead. I have no, but it's not the manager that wins or loses these games. Anybody with a computer can figure out what he's doing. And the shifts recently have sucked. The Phillies' shifting of players based on their charts and their computers have not been very good, have been poor. So let's address things. Is that the manager's fault? Yeah, he's the one that puts them in position. But the managers in baseball usually only lose games. They don't win games. They only there might be 5 to 8 games a year where a manager loses. It's rare that they win a game. The players win, and actually the players lose. But once in a while, the manager does something foolish. And whether you use position players, and I think it's becoming a farce in baseball, but that's baseball's problem right now. But what do you, for 2 innings, what do you tell the other players that were on that team that are playing in that game, and they're standing out there, or they're playing those last 2 innings and saying, wait a minute, we're not even trying. What am I doing out here? That's my biggest problem. James, you're on WIP.
Hey, K-I-N-G. King, listen, I want to talk about the Eagles for a minute. I want to tell everybody to cool out, because all the preseason is job interviews, basically. That's all it is, job interviews. Let's talk about this concussion thing. Boxers get hit in the head all the time.
Yeah.
They make boxers wear headgear. Where they're going to make UFC fighters wear headgear. A person can tackle the way the NFL wants them to tackle. The player can fall, hit his head on the ground, and still get a concussion. So you can't win for losing. But King, I got
Yeah, it's just, but football's different than boxing. Boxing, I don't get you. There's no, but remember, it's not the government that legislates this. So there's nothing you can do about boxing because they know what the game is. They know what the rules are. The fighters know that that's, in a lot of cases, that's the only way they can make any kind of money. And I think it is sad that boxers later in life have a real chance of brain damage because of that game. But people like it. They don't legislate it themselves, and the government can't legislate that. So,
King,
and they
I got
shouldn't.
I got two questions for you, King. I need you to answer, okay?
Yep.
One, what is a half a game? Because you can't play a half a game in any sport. And two, how does the NFL let Donald Trump bully them? Roger Goodell made $45 million. How does the NFL that owns a day of the week on a Sunday let Donald Trump bully them?
Well,
Roger Goodell needs to grow a pair and tell Donald Trump to sit his toupee wearing behind down.
Yeah, well, it's not like I don't think they can respond. In most cases, they don't. You just get down to that. Donald Trump shouldn't be sending out the tweets about the NFL, and the NFL shouldn't respond. I agree with that. I don't want to get into the political thing, because once I get into politics, then I look at the city of Philadelphia, and I realize what a mess, what a disgrace they have going on in the city right now. So and that's the politicians, and that's the mayor. So if I start getting into it, you'll start me off on another thing. But you can't really go at each other, and people shouldn't worry about addressing it. It's like I saw the video of the mayor celebrating that Philadelphia was a sanctuary city, which was shown all over the country, which was an embarrassment. But I wanted to respond. It's just foolish. If he wants to make an ass out of himself, then go ahead. And Donald Trump and a lot of his tweets has made an ass out. But a lot of people do that. But you can't respond to those kind of things. All right, let me give you the numbers. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. On your cell phone, it's #9494 on AT&T. And it's #9494 on Verizon. WIP Sports Time. You're at the Borgata. It's now 9:16. All right, Philadelphia. Still in the midst of summer. Still in that. We have a little bit of it left. And there's always limited edition and special edition summer snacks, which are still going on for Tasty Cake. It's nice. I always have one of my faithful listeners, because I'm not in the Tasty Cake studios, bring me Tasty Cake. Brought me the peanut butter candy cakes, which I've always, always, always loved those. You got other tasty little cakes of summer, and you can grab some at your grocer. Delicious lemon crimpets, and they are very, very good. Lemon cheesecake baked pies, that is really good. And banana juniors, and you'll find them why they last at your local grocers. And then you also can visit Tasty Cake on Facebook and Instagram just for the fun of it. 94. WIP, want to address, actually I'm laughing when I do it, so understand I'm not angry in a little bit. That Eagles game was so exciting the other night that the Eagles broadcast with Scott Graham and Mike Mayock had to show my wardrobe on the air towards the end of the game. And that's fine. I have no problem with it. I'm proud of the fashion statement that I am, whether it's at a game or whether it's every day or whatever it is. I'm proud of the fashion statement. And it is summertime, and I do wear colors that bring out the summer. And I had a sport coat on that was salmon in color. I had Vans that matched, socks that matched, shirt that matched, headphones that brought in that tone of color. And they made, obviously, and they did it in fun. So please don't think that I'm mad at them. But they took a couple of shots at me with my wardrobe the other night while working the Eagles game. And that's fine. But I'm not going to change. I can't say I'm a slave to fashion, but I like fashionable things. And sometimes people just can't handle good fashion. I would say that Mike Mayock, who tries to have some fashion, is not, he's kind of been left in the past. But that's all right. Mike's a good guy. Scott's a good guy. And they were having some fun, but I just want to tell them that I'm okay with that, but they can't handle my fashion. They can't handle kind of like being there with fashion, because I don't think Mike understands it. So that's okay if he ever needs a lesson on good fashion and color coordination and things at work and just kind of dressing well. I'm always glad to help those guys. So they had a little fun with me, and believe me, I'm saying this all in fun. They don't understand fashion, and to show you the kind of guy I am, I'm willing to help them understand fashionable clothing. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WIP.
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Jim?
Very good. That's about the same color as my beach house. Some people call it pink, and I correct them. It's Caribbean Coral. But
okay,
anyway,
I'll use that. Caribbean Coral.
Yes. And if Kapler is so concerned about amusing us, how come we don't have Henry pitching every day?
Well, you can't pitch him every day. Hey, listen, I understand the game was far from won, but my biggest problem is Scott Kingery pitching was really kind of a joke, because at least find somebody that's going to just throw it with some kind of speed, and there's guys on the team that can do that. But that's not. I don't care whether it's an embarrassment to the Phillies. But it is an embarrassment to baseball, but that's not Gabe Kapler's concern, and I would agree with that. It's not his concern. However, his concern is what the other players on that team are thinking. They're in the field, and they're watching this, and they're saying, what the hell am I doing out here with the manager having given up? And you have 8 pitchers in the bullpen. You're going to tell me that you can't find a way to use somebody else for the last couple of innings? Yeah.
Now, and you're, you know, talking about that specific game. How does Kapler in the future address to a player when it comes to not running out a ground ball or, you know, laying out for, you know, a fly ball or a liner? You know, it's good.
Well, in a competitive game, there's reason to clearly do it. But he can't address it. If you had a hitter that hit a routine ground ball and he said, well, I'm not running at all, this is an out, you can't say anything to him at that point if he's already shown that he's given up. You have no right to say anything to him. None.
That's my point, yeah.
Yep.
The Eagles, how long do you think it took Coach to figure out that Belichick was game planning for that game?
I don't think it took long. You know, coaches will say, oh, we don't game plan. Well, it's clear. It's absolutely 100% clear. And this is how pathetic the Patriots are. It's so pathetic. Mm-hmm. They game planned because they thought it was obviously important for them to win the game. It was important for the crybaby and the prima donna, Tom Brady, to win the game and play well. Like, who cares whether... But they clearly game plan. And then I know Nick Foles had no problem with Tom Brady not coming to him after the game to shake his hand. You know, Tom Brady, when he's lost the Super Bowl, has not come across the field to congratulate the other quarterback in any one of those games. And that's wrong. And whether he waits this long, I mean, he's not going to see him. He hugged Carson Wentz before the game but didn't seek out Nick Foles before the game, but then afterwards, then he comes to the center of the field. And I don't want to hear the excuse, there's such chaos at the Super Bowl, it's hard to get to the center of the field. You have security people around the coach and around the quarterback every game, and you had that clearly more people for the Super Bowl. If he showed any kind of class, he would have congratulated Nick Foles. But obviously, it's all about him. And he was upset that he lost the game, and I can understand that. But it's your responsibility to show that you got class and do that. But they clearly game plan for that game. There's no question.
And we're the ones that get beat up for throwing snowballs at Santa.
But, well, yeah, it was three people throwing snow. That's the most overblown, ridiculous, nonsensical story I've ever heard. And it's going on for years.
Do you remember at the end of the half there was that New England penalty and our bursting ball from the two? I was like so upset with Belichick and New England. I was like screaming at the TV, give me the Philly special.
Yeah, well, they're not. They're certainly not going to run that in the game. But they... Yeah, the Patriots really, there's no question that they game plan. But the fact that this is how, Belichick is he's a jerk. We know he's a jerk. He's a good coach, but without Tom Brady, he wins no Super Bowls. So let's make that clear. Without cheating, that may have cost him a Super Bowl. So they've done things that are wrong, but to be so insecure that you have to game plan for a preseason. Hey, that doesn't take away from the Eagles not making plays and not doing everything the way they should have. It doesn't take away from the offensive line not doing a good enough job. It doesn't take away from Nick Foles not doing a good enough job. It doesn't take away. Those things have to happen, and they have their responsibility. And the Patriots were going to win that game, and they knew they were going to win that game. But the fact is they went out there to make sure and game plan for that game. There's no question that they game plan. They have every right to do it, but 99% of the teams don't do it. Shows you how insecure Belichick and Tom Brady are. Mark, you're on WIP.
Yeah, Hal, good morning.
Good morning.
Manager Dave Kapler.
Yes.
First year, he's learning on the job. He's made mistakes. We're all aware of it. He's different. California boy. Got all that. I think we have to sit here, whether the manager does more in this sport or less in this sport compared to other sports, the man has done a good job. His team lost 96 games last year. Now, have they made some additions to the team? They have. Does the division stink? Yeah, it stinks. They lost 96 games. When are you going to come out and say,
okay, what was the record?
Done a good job.
The record the second half last year was 500, was it not? Was right around 500. Okay.
It was.
So, okay. And they didn't have the same players they have right now. So shouldn't they be better?
Yeah,
with
they should be.
Hoskins' second year, Aaron Nola's a better pitcher. They added Arrieta. They added Santana, which I don't really
Absolutely.
Care for. Okay.
I
so they should that. Be better. Okay. They so it's be. Not. But, so it's not. It's not Gabe Kapler, the manager. I will say, I think Pete Maccannon could have done just as good a job. He wouldn't have used all the analytics, and Matt Klentak would not have liked that. But the reality is that the manager is given too much credit when they win, and too much responsibility when they lose. When they lost three out of four to Cincinnati, it wasn't Gabe Kapler's fault. When they lost two out of three to San Diego, it wasn't Gabe Kapler's fault.
Well,
I'm the first one to tell you that. But don't give him all this credit because they're better. They should be better, and I've laid out the reasons they are better.
Yeah, but let me tell you why. Now this is where his philosophy offensively is his detriment. They're very good at home because they play to the strength of the ballpark. They're not going to make the playoffs this year, in my opinion, because they can't win on the road. Their road record, if they don't get the 500 on the road, they're not going to make the playoffs. And why is that? Because they play the same way on the road that they do at Citizens Bank Park.
Okay, so if you were the manager, it's not his fault. There's nothing you can do. The lineup is the lineup. They are not a good hitting team. They're better with Ramos. Obviously, he's added something. They're not a good hitting team. And they're a terrible defensive team. Terrible. Not just bad. They're terrible.
Yeah, but and part of that's his fault, though.
No, it's not. He can't catch the ball for him. You put Cabrera at short to add offense, and he's not a good shortstop. You put Hoskins in left field because he was forced to when they signed Santana, and he's not a good left fielder. And he's the best player, not counting pitchers. He's the best player on that team. And that's wrong to put him in left field, to assign Santana and put him in left field. So that's not his fault. So you know Nick Williams is not a good right fielder, but you know that. You know that. So you're sacrificing trying to get some offense. In Hoskins' case, he's obviously got to play Nick Williams because he's really the only right fielder that they have, and he's hit a little bit better. So, but the manager can't do anything else. So that's why I don't like all his not being honest after the game. He was honest one time, and he was wrong for being honest. But the manager is not – Gabe Kapler is who he is. He's not good or he's not bad. He's just analytics-driven, but he's not good or he's not bad. That's the difference.
But the bottom line with that, though, Howard, you could say that for every manager of baseball.
I do.
In his first year, he's learning – the team is playing overall well to be 13-14 over 500.
But again, I've stated the reasons. Yeah, but I've stated the reason. But they were 500 the second half of the season when they started to bring players up. So you've got to take that in consideration, and they've added players. Again, I don't think it's the manager that they're as many games over 500 as they are. I think it's a product of the division and a product of adding players. Atlanta and the Phillies have a real distinct advantage over other teams trying to make the playoffs and taking a shot at the wild card because they play in such a horrible division. They both have an advantage. They both do. I think Milwaukee's a better team. I actually think Colorado's a better team. I think we know Arizona is a better team. I think L.A.'s a better team. And we know the Cubs are a better team. So we know all those teams, and I'm not so sure Atlanta's not a better team. But we will find that out. But again, just because they're where they are, don't really give Gabe Kapler – hey, listen, I'm moving on from calling Gabe Kapler a bad manager. I think he still should be honest after games. I don't think he should tie himself in analytics. And what he did the other night – whether you have to do that or not, everybody's doing it now, which I think is a joke in baseball. But what he did is told the other players for two innings, I don't care. And that's not good. That's not good. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Howard.
Bye-bye. All right. See you later. I mean, I stated, listen, I'm past all the Gabe Kapler criticism as far as his managing. He's just doing now. We know the moves are going to make. He moved Carlos Santana in the lineup. He should have. He thinks Carlos Santana's having a good year. That's ridiculous. But when you're hitting under 220, it's not a good year. I don't care what your on-base percentage. I'm so tired of hearing, well, he's walked. He's got to be aggressive at the plate. That's what you paid him $20 million to do. You want him to get on base, but they're not knocking players in anyway. So what good is getting on base when you're not knocking those players in? He's one of the guys in the lineup that's got to be aggressive. But the lineup, there's not much you can do with the lineup. And analytics tells you put your power hitter two. There's no such thing as a cleanup hitter anymore because they don't care about having a guy in the cleanup spot with power. They really don't care as much, let's put it that way. All right, 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. All right, the Eagles. They have one more game. They have two more preseason games, but one more with the first-teamers playing a decent portion of the game. What do you think the Eagles need to do on Thursday night? We'll talk about that and obviously address some of the other things that we've been addressing this morning. 888-729-9494 on your cell phones, on the AT&T service that I know a lot of you are using. It's #9494. And on Verizon, it's #9494. Here at the Borgata, where I happened to take in the Cher concert last night, lots of really, really good concerts have going on here at the Borgata, lots of good things. So I'm just sharing in all the luxuries that they have. And I'm doing it well, too. 94 WIP. WIP Sports Time is now 9:39. 94 WIP. Saturday morning. Weather could be iffy, but I don't listen to the weather people. I just see what's out there and just go with the flow. Just go with the flow. All right, let's go to Drew. Drew, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard.
Good morning.
with the tackling rule, what I don't get is what was wrong with the old spearing rule? You hit with the crown of your helmet, it's foul. Why are they reinventing the wheel here?
Because they're trying to put themselves at less risk of lawsuits. Remember, there was a concussion. There's a concussion lawsuit against the NFL, which I think is still going on. So it's a tough sport, and players that are in it know it. So they're just trying to make it safer, but they're going overboard. They've got to find a happy medium. They're going overboard.
Well, I like the old rule better. I mean, with the amount of football I played, I remember one thing, which the coaches always said, keep your head up and your eyes open. If you do that,
yeah,
you're tackling okay, and you're not going to be spearing. So I don't get it, Howard. I don't know what they're
but some players don't do it, so it's got to be they're trying to protect both the offensive and defensive player, but they're overdoing it right now, and there's got to be a happy medium based on the way the calls, which they review every week, the way the calls are being made.
But you can't even tackle properly. You have to lower your head. It's attached to your body.
Right. I know. Well, you have to lower. You got to keep your head up, but you use your shoulder. And then if the offensive player moves and you hit helmet to helmet, they're going to call it. And that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. And I can't spin my wheels anymore with Gabe Kapler and the shift game. I mean, last night with the guy on first and the routine ground ball to second turns into first and third, no outs, because somehow they thought Austin Jackson was going to pull Nola's pitches.
The whole thing, it's like overdone already. Hey, I'll give you an example, which is, and I still don't know, when they played Boston, and who was the first pitcher in the series? He got a hit. He got a double. Porcello, was that the pitcher? They had a shift on. Now, Ray, he's a pitcher in the American League who there can't be many, many charts on. He doesn't have a history because he doesn't hit. They had the right fielder, Nick Williams, played so far to the line and so shallow. He had a ball that would have been caught normally, which is a routine hit, a little bit on a line drive. And it became a double. It's like, what kind of charts do they have on a pitcher who doesn't even hit? It's overstated and overdone, and that's part of the problem. But he's not the only one doing it. John, you're on WIP. Yo, John.
Oh, hello?
Yes.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry. Can you give me a minute? Not worried. Or not a minute. Can you just put me on hold?
Okay. All right, I'll put you on. All right. I don't know what's going on in that, and it sounds like he's in the car. Jason, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, I got a couple questions for you. First one, whatever happened to that deflatable incident?
Oh, it was defective. Here's what the Pittsburgh Steeler game, it was clearly deflated. But what I found out later, that many teams around the NFL have had footballs that have been defective. The quarterback who was in the game at the time for Pittsburgh, when the media, the first time they talked to him, he was actually kind of humorous. He said, he talked about it. He said, well, as soon as I had the ball, I knew there was something wrong with the football. He said it was like a football that sat in my father's garage for 2 years and lost the air. So, but the NFL put out a release the next day. When I'm on the sidelines, but, I love these twidiots that rip me, being hard-hitting reporting. I saw something that was clearly, something was wrong. The football really was like a marshmallow, and I saw that when it was picked up by the ball boy and he squeezed it. I was about to pick it up and he did, and there was something wrong with the football. So I just reported what I saw. And the NFL issued a statement that they sent it back to Wilson to be examined. There have been problems with the footballs around the NFL this year. So that's what happened.
That's pretty bad, though. My second thing is, in regards to the Phillies, I mean, what we have to come to a realization is that this team just does not have it this year. We got all excited because of, the way they started the season, that, we thought we had something. But in reality, we don't. So, I mean, if they make the playoffs, that's great. But the odds are, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year.
Well, I think they have a good chance to make them. But if they make the playoffs, I don't see how they can win. You say, well, anything can happen because they have good pitching. They don't have a lot of offense. It's better with Ramos. But they don't. Their defense is terrible. And that's not going to change. The defense isn't going to change. So that's an issue. But they're a better team. We know they're a better team. And they knew this. Their team will be a legitimate contender in the next 3 years. Well, probably next year, because they'll sign one or two good free agents. And then for years after that, they develop the team. So they will be a better team down the line. It's not the manager. It's the way that they've set themselves up in this organization. And they're going to have better players. There's no question. And the players they have are going to be better. John, you're on WIP.
Yo, sorry for that. I wanted to talk about the quarterback situation with Wentz and Foles.
Sure.
I was watching some Wentz highlights last night. And there's no way we put him out there unless he's 110%. The guy takes a lot of hits. And that's our future quarterback, you know. I mean, there's no rush.
Well, he's got to be 100%. There's no such thing as 110%. 100% is 100%. But I understand what you're saying, just a figure of speech. But there's got to be less risk. And the organization, I think, I don't know this for a fact, I get the sense they will be cautious, because not only is he a quarterback for now, he's the quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. So I don't think he's going to play the first game, and I've been consistent with that. I hope he plays. We all hope he plays, but you got to be smart about this whole thing. You really have to be smart.
Yeah, I know he's not going to play the first game. I mean, I'm just saying, even if we have to hold him for, like, even 8 weeks
they're not going to
be ready.
He's not going to be held for 8 weeks. That's one thing that's not going to happen. Maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks. But I think there's a decent chance he won't play the first 2 weeks. But you got to see how things play out, and you got to let it move forward. And as I've said all along, the doctor, and Carson Wentz confirmed it, it's not big news, the doctor has to make that decision. Rob, you're on WIP.
What's up, King? How you doing today?
How you doing?
Hey, listen, you never have to... You never have to apologize to anybody about your fashion, man. Because you do it right.
No, right. I'm not apologizing. They just don't understand it. But they were having fun with me. And that's all right. Yeah. They've got to understand fashion. And next time I see Mike Mayock and Scott Graham, I'll try to explain a little to them about fashion. I'll talk to them about it. I'll talk to them and try to help them understand so they can have the fashion that I have. But they were just having some fun, and I'm okay with that.
Okay, now I want to get to the Phillies and then the Eagles. The Phillies, you said that that they're going to make some good signings. I don't trust Klintak to make any good signings.
I do.
He bought that Carlos Santana. I'd rather have the original Carlos Santana.
Well, would you like Manny Machado?
You know what? Here's the thing, Howard. About
I answered the question.
No, I wouldn't. Because
well, I would. I would.
About baseball, I mean, he was on the Baltimore Orioles. They stunk. Bryce Harper is on the Washington Nationals. They stink. When you start spending $300 and $400 million for one guy in baseball, you're going down a bad
road. Do you really care about what they spend or care whether the player's good?
No, I care about building a good team.
Well, yeah, but they have John Middleton has as much money as he needs to build a good team. And he will do it. He won't cheap it out.
Okay, well, let me ask you something, Howard. When the Astros won, did they have a $400 million guy on their team? When Chicago won, did they have a $400 million guy on their team? The teams with those $400 million guys or $300 million guys, like Robinson Cano and Pujols, they don't win. They don't win. It's just a waste of money.
I don't care about the money. Will they be a better team with Manny Machado on the team?
I'd like to see.
Well, yeah, but would they be better to add a player like Manny Machado?
Well, what's he done for the Dodgers?
Hit a home run last night. What's he done for the Dodgers? Dodgers lost their bullpen ace. They lost their closer. That's really, and they've blown. I think the closer had blown like the last seven games.
That proves my point. So you get Manny Machado, you don't have a bullpen.
Yeah, but that doesn't, wait a minute, Rob. That doesn't prove your point. They lost their closer. It's not Manny Machado's fault. Hey, listen, I'd like to continue this discussion. Let's do it next week because I'm running out of time. But I have no problem. Another Saturday here at the Borgata. I will be on, the next time I'm on is Monday night with Joe Giglio. I'll be on at 6 o'clock. I want to thank, we had a double dip back at the studio. We had Phil Jackson and Phil Casey. Is that, okay, Phil, Taylor Curdatis here at the Borgata. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to you for being a part of the show. Everybody have a great weekend. As always, be safe. The Eagles are playing the biggest game of preseason. And that'll be next Thursday, and I'm sure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.